This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Knoxville is proud to present the show that the fans deserve.
I consider myself a realist, all right, but in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio, and we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports.
Leave one wolf alive, and the sheep are never safe.
All right, back in the booth, back on the airwaves. It's April 30th. Month's already over.
Yes, sir.
Cameron Black, Hayden Wallen, Draven Fine. We're all in here. John's handling some business, so he is not here today.
We finally overthrew the big bully, didn't we, Hayden? finally, we took over. Man, feels good.
They may have kicked him out, yeah. We can't confirm nor deny that at the moment. but how are you boys doing today?
Doing great, Cam. Doing great. Man, oh, man. Oh, man. I'm excited. I'm excited to get to this little draft talk.
Yeah, that is obviously the story of the day coming off the first round last night. How are you, Hayden?
I'm doing all right, Cam. I wasn't really thrilled with the pick last night, but
okay,
that's all right.
Okay. Nothing wrong with that. It was it's a semi-risky pick. He's obviously talking about Caleb Farley to the Titans. That's probably the biggest story kind of around here for the most part. He's a good player. It's just a matter of if he's going to stay healthy with his, his injury concerns and stuff like that. He had back surgery and things like that this off season. So that's the main concern. But, yeah, the draft was last night, obviously. First round through the books. They really got to find a way to speed that thing up, man.
Oh, my goodness,
they got to find a way to speed up that process.
Like, let's get through the first 10. I can understand the first 10 being a little bit slow.
Yeah.
After that, man, we gotta pick it up a little bit. Because after
insane.
10, it felt like it was just a drag after that last, like, 10 or 11th pick. I mean, just brutal.
Well, it's unreal because, like, you get your 10 minutes or whatever on the clock.
Yep.
Cool, 10 minutes is gone. I'm like, okay, I can handle that. Mm-hmm. But then they just put the pick is in graphic up there for another 10 minutes.
That's my problem, too. And they have to sit there and talk about who they're going to pick. It's like, just announce the pick. What are we doing?
Yep, and then Goodell takes his sweet time walking up to that stage, has to stop and wave at everybody, taking a couple boos, and takes his time walking up there every time. So it ends up being like a 20-minute thing per pick, and it's just it's absurd that thing lasted till after midnight.
Cam, I gotta ask, man, how's the mock draft? How did it look? How'd we do? What's the grade
terrible,
here?
Well,
how are we
terrible.
Grading it?
I think there was only six players that I didn't have projected in the first round that went. So not terrible. Like, I wasn't really great on hitting exactly on anybody or anything like that. I think I only hit like six, like right on the head. Wish I would have waited an hour to release my thing because I saw that, like, Trey Lance kind of was trending to three later. That would have changed some stuff up. But, I mean, I had people going in a decent range. I think I hit, like, three in a row at, like, 13, 14, 15 or somewhere in there. But not too bad, not too shabby. I got to still crunch the numbers a little bit and put it up against the other guys. But did better than Charlie's, I'll tell you that much.
There we go. That's all you needed.
Yeah, that's all I was going for. But, yeah, draft last night, big day for a lot of these franchises. Obviously, Jacksonville with the number one pick went Trevor Lawrence, of course.
Mm-hmm. And your opinion, what was the biggest surprise move for you guys?
Probably the Raiders.
What
are the Raiders
doing?
Why are they always trying to outsmart
so
everybody?
Many other offensive linemen that were more proven.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a really deep tackle class, and they took a guy that
He was
not
what,
the best one still available.
Second round, mid to late second round.
I said he had him like late second round, mostly third round, probably.
Yeah,
they love their Alabama boys.
Tackles.
I tell you what, those Raiders, they love them Alabama boys, man.
Yeah, Gruden thinks he knows what he's doing, so he did that. I was kind of surprised that ETN to the Jags. Mm-hmm. I think that's another case of Urban Meyer not knowing what he's doing, just thinking he's recruiting a recruiting class. He's like, yeah, let me get all these let me get these five-star really running backs though. In here. So Jacksonville, yeah, they, I mean, Lawrence, ETN, teammates all together. There was a lot of that, the partnering of teammates. Obviously, yeah. We saw it with Ja'Marr Chase at five. You know, a lot of people thought they probably should have went offensive lineman. But they went receiver, reunited Burrow and Chase, trying to run back that Heisman year magic they had. Waddell to the Dolphins, getting back with Tua, stuff like that.
I was a little surprised by that. I was a little surprised they took a little chance on Waddle.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like he was trending to be the second receiver taken in a top 10 guy. And, yeah, Miami wanted a playmaker, pass catcher. They're trying to put some weapons around Tua, so, you know, try to make him be the quarterback they hope he can be. And so they kind of went that route and went with Waddell.
I think that really just came down to punt and kickoff return.
Yeah, that too.
I don't think that Smith was as good of a punt or kickoff returner, and that's what they wanted.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Waddell's definitely way more versatile, could do a little bit more of that stuff for sure. So, yeah, they went there. Sewell slid down to seven. We heard he was kind of trending backwards, and the Lions took advantage.
Man, how about the Lions draft him? You guys see him after they drafted them? They were going crazy.
I've never seen anybody that excited.
And it wasn't even like – I figured when I first originally like saw the thing where it was like, look at the draft room going crazy. I was like, man, it's probably Dan Campbell. Like, the guy talking about biting kneecaps. I'm like, God almighty, there's no telling what he's doing in that draft room, probably throwing chairs. He was the most calm of them all. It was more the GMs, the top head guys that were like going wild.
Yeah, they were pumped. He slid to that spot, you know, draining out that draft. I think the first time there was a really a little surprise was J.C. Horn at eight. I think that kind of caught some people off guard. Carolina wasn't really projected a lot to take a cornerback. And with Fields on the board and they hadn't picked up Sam Darnold's option yet, a lot of people were like, oh, could this be Fields here? It was not Fields. Fields kept sliding, but they picked up J.C. Horn. First corner off the board. You know, a lot of people thought Surtain was that guy for the longest, but – J.C. Horn from South Carolina, obviously, stays in the Carolinas. So, Panthers got him at eight. Then the Broncos took Surtain at nine. Kind of changed up what we projected, you know, for, you know, the next few picks.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had the rare in-division trade.
Hey.
How do you feel about that one, Draven?
Well, you know, Cam, I had a couple people tweet at me. I had a couple people DM me. What are the Cowboys doing? Yeah. What a stupid move. How are you going to trade for within your division? How are you going to give the Eagles a great player? Just time out for a second. This was actually a genius move, Hayden. I don't know if you noticed. Just an absolute genius move.
Genius.
Jerry saw the opportunity. Devontae Smith was either going to go 11 or 12 to the New York or Philly, right? Like, we can all agree on that.
He was going to New York for sure because he was going to trade it after.
Exactly. And they end up taking Tony. You knew they wanted a receiver. They were going to take Devontae Smith.
Yep.
So Dallas, basically what they said was, you know what? We're going to have to go up against Devontae Smith either way. New York, Philly, one way or the other. So why not get a third-round draft pick out of it, which they did, and you pretty much get the same player you would probably get at 10 right there, right? Unless you maybe get an offensive tackle. But still, Parsons, best available player.
Beautiful move. I've seen a lot of people saying, linebacker wasn't y'all's biggest need. Y'all have needs elsewhere.
The thing with Parsons, man, he could do so many different things. Like, you know this, Cam.
Yeah,
this guy can cover. This
guy
can blitz. Like, I get we're pretty deep at linebacker. But, I mean, again, it comes over need over just pure talent. Like, what are you going to take? The Bengals, did they really need Chase over Sewell? No, but they took Chase because, my goodness, the dude's a game changer. Like, at the end of the day, when you have pretty much any pick you want at that point, Dallas doesn't have a specific player in mind, you just take best available player, the guy that's going to change the game the most. Michael Parsons is that guy, absolutely. Wrong in saying that?
He was the best defensive guy available at the time, for sure.
If you want to argue that, then they should have just traded at 10. Anyway, without having the two corners off the board anyway. Because if you trade before, the two corners get taken anyway, it still would work out the same, right? Because New York wasn't looking for or a defensive guy, and Philly wasn't looking for a defensive guy. So you're acting like that's just a great move. I mean, they could have just done this like 2 weeks ago. But,
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I mean, could they?
Yeah, I mean, I guess. But
it just makes sense to me because both your other division rivals are looking for offensive players. So, I mean.
Yeah. And my other thing is you wouldn't want Slater there? You need offensive line help? Slater went to pick after. Was next best offensive lineman, you know, obviously available. And, Yeah, he's going to be an immediate starter probably for the Chargers down there protecting Herbert.
I don't think he'd be an immediate starter for the Cowboys. I don't. I still think Tyron Smith, Lyle Collins, those guys have been all pros. Like, yeah, they're a little older. Yeah, they're both coming off pretty serious injuries. But still, I think you could stick with those guys for a little bit. What's funny, Hayden?
Just lost a lot to brush the side there, Draven.
Serious injuries, yeah.
You don't want to draft with the 12th pick a backup tackle. Like, that's what he would be. He would be a backup tackle who would step in when the guys got injured. I don't know if that's what you want to spend a 12th pick on.
So you get
a backup linebacker?
Sure.
I mean, come on. Yeah, he's going to start. Okay. He's going to start. He's that good. He's better than Jalen Smith and Van Der Esch.
They run a 3-4.
They're probably going to run 4-3, I would say, with Quinn. Quinn's always ran a 4-3. Yeah. Now, you know, Keanu Neal, and how does he play into this? I mean, that'll be interesting to see, but.
Yeah, it changes the dynamic a little bit there.
We
got to
talk about Fields, man.
But yeah, you know, that was the big pick basically in between that little trade there is the Bears.
Get
themselves a quarterback. Andy Dalton starter graphic, toss it out the window because Fields is coming for that job. That's probably one of the biggest news of the draft is Justin Fields slid all the way down to 11 and the Bears took advantage. Traded all the way up from 20 up to get him, which it's funny because I was like, I don't know how Bears fans would feel about them trading up for a quarterback after Trubisky. They probably still have a little PTSD on that front. But, I mean, you can look at it two ways here. One, I think Fields is a great quarterback. I think he's going to be a good player. Chicago's got a decent team they're going to put around him. He has a chance to be successful. If he puts it all together, he has a chance to be successful. At the same time, you could look at the Bears quarterback drafting history and be like, Bears like him, he may not be good. So
also, the Ohio State quarterback history factoring into that, where, you know, not a lot of good coming out of that.
Like, I've still been in the camp, but I think Justin Fields was the second-best quarterback in this draft class. In my opinion, it was a steal here. We'll see if, you know, Nagy doesn't ruin him or what they're going to do up there. Did you see Fields in the draft room? He did not look thrilled to be going to Chicago.
He didn't, man. I kind of noticed
I think
that.
He's tired of being in the North. You know, he's from Georgia. I think he did want to go to the Falcons at 4, obviously. I think he just wasn't happy he slid outside the top 10. But, yeah, keeping him up North in Chicago, that's probably the biggest news, you know, just coming straight out of the first round is Bears try to get themselves a quarterback. That and the other quarterback, they went a few picks later. Mac Jones to the Patriots.
What do you know?
They're not a better it fits too well. Like,
I mean, he even said that, like, after he got drafted, he's like, basically, I was hoping for New England. The fit's just too good to be true.
It's just perfect. And, Belichick, you know, knows what he's doing most of the time. Mac Jones probably solid enough to, you know, compete for that job. Cam Newton, you know, they keep talking about he's still the guy for them.
I hate this. But you never know. Why are we doing this? Why do teams do this, Cam? Like, they're going to throw out Andy Dalton for the first four weeks. He's going to be average to, you know, below average because that's what kind of quarterback he is. And then it's just going to put all the pressure for Justin Fields to go in. Mm-hmm. I just think you traded a future first-round pick to go up and get Fields. Like, just throw him as the starter, man. Like, let's quit doing this. Patriots, you really want to throw Cam Newton out there after the year he just had? Like, I will never understand the whole, and then, of course, you got Kyle Shanahan. Jimmy G's our guy. He's our starter. Trey Lance is here to compete. Really? Really, Kyle? You're going to trade all that just to draft a backup for a year? Like,
he's
come
safe,
on.
Though, because all he has to hope for is Jimmy G's going to, like, trip over a rock and be injured by, like, week 4. So he's not even going to have to really, like, pressure it any more than that. But, yeah. Bill Belichick gets himself a young quarterback. We'll see if he can work it out with it. If things work out with him there. It just seems like if you were drawing up a draft, that's the guy. But you're like, that's a Patriots guy right there.
Yeah.
So Mac Jones goes to a solid team, good organization. Probably a better situation, I would think, than the 49ers. I think 49ers would be more of a pressure situation where they're expecting you to come in and take them basically to a Super Bowl because they already have a good roster. They think the thing they're just missing is a quarterback. They would have basically pegged that on you as you are the guy. You're supposed to get us to the next level. And I think at the Patriots, he's got a little less pressure. I mean, Cam's there and Belichick. I think people are going to trust Belichick to however he wants to try to develop him. But,
man, Nick Saban to Bill Belichick, huh?
Yeah,
it doesn't get much better than that, huh?
Absolutely. And, of course, the other highlights there, we kind of briefly talked about the Titans took Caleb Farley, Virginia Tech cornerback.
Which, by the way, Hayden, I absolutely love this pick. Is it just the injuries? Has that got you most concerned?
Yeah. That's fair enough. Receiver,
so. That's fair enough. Those were the two positions that they seemed they were back and forth on after that pick. And, Farley, he's basically going to be a boom or bust guy. I mean, either he works out and he's as good as advertised, and he's been listed, you know, arguably as, like, the top corner in the draft class before, you know, the injury concerns. Or, the injury concerns will hold him down, and he's, you know, he won't be what you hope he is, and you've wasted two first-round picks in a row. I leave that he'll be fine, but also, like, we've talked about, like, back issues. You never know with a back, man. That's a tough injury to have lingering around. So we'll see. I mean, he's getting to NFL level trainers and stuff like that. Maybe that helps. We'll kind of see on that front. But he went there. I guess besides outside of that, nothing really crazy. Just kind of, I guess, Jags took ETN there right after Steelers took Najee Harris. So two running backs in the first round, you know, which has been the trending the opposite direction as of late. But they saw their guys. They went and got their guys. I guess I can't blame them there. Not really sure why the Jags wanted to go that aspect this early. I feel like, especially after having James Robinson in late rounds last year, you can get good running backs later in the draft.
Also signed Carlos Hyde. Like,
yeah,
they got a couple guys. I know Carlos Hyde ain't much, but...
Yeah, but you had serviceable running backs. Right. I feel like you didn't need to spend a first-round pick on it. You could have shored up some other parts of your roster. It's not like you have this elite roster where you can kind of just take luxury players, but...
Here we go, Trevor. We got Travis Etienne. We got Tim Tebow at tight end.
We got to take Amari Rodgers next round.
I guarantee it, man. Bring just the Florida Clemson teams. There we go.
But outside of that... Packers kind of shocked everybody, and we kind of got some news we can get into after the break about the Packers and what's going on over there. But, yeah, stick with us. We'll be back after the break. All right, back here on Fox Sports Radio. Another big story of last night. We had a lot of stuff flying around in the NFL. It's a fun night if you're an NFL fan, if you're one of those guys that's into that stuff. Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Packers went and drafted Eric Stokes, cornerback out of Georgia, with their 29th pick last night.
What do you think Aaron's doing, man?
He was somewhere.
What's his reaction?
He's at the Kentucky Derby this weekend, apparently. So okay. He was probably in Kentucky just rocking some bourbon out, yelling at the TV like, "See, this is why I hate you." And that's kind of what's come out is apparently Aaron Rodgers is very unhappy with the Packers organization and does not want to return. Just a whole interesting situation here because we've had the GM and owners and stuff like that come out and say, there's no way we're trading Aaron Rodgers. We're going to work it out. But Aaron Rodgers, at the same time, has been turning down the contract extension talks, going MIA, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. They're having trouble talking to him. And it was funny. There was a tweet that was like, man, Aaron Rodgers doesn't even talk to his mom. You think he's going to talk to the Packers? Like, so he's on a standstill with them. They're trying to figure something out. They're still very adamant they're not going to trade him.
Did you see the tweet, Cam? It was like his future in Green Bay is in jeopardy.
Yeah. Everybody was having good fun with that as well. And honestly, that could be a huge factor here. Jeopardy's finishing up their auditions, things like that.
Yeah.
Apparently, he really impressed the Jeopardy staff with his stint there. He may get a call for that job offer. And if things are as bad as they seem with the Packers and they can't get anything worked out, what's to say Aaron Rodgers doesn't just call it and go host Jeopardy? We know he's a big Jeopardy guy. Obviously, that's why he wanted to get on there and have a brief stint hosting the show. But the Packers just seem to be at odds with Aaron Rodgers now. And it's getting interesting because, I mean, you would have liked to have traded him, obviously, before the draft if you were going to trade him.
Another thing,
some picks, something like that. The Niners, you know, obviously called them or said they called them, and they would have offered you the third pick, anything like that. You could have built your team. You could have been able to tread water probably a little bit. But now you're in a really weird situation, and you're you know, but this isn't going to get resolved over this draft weekend. Like he's, like we said, Aaron Rodgers is at the Kentucky Derby. He's not worried about this at the moment. He's ignoring it. Maybe Monday you can get him back in the office or back on the phone. But right now, Aaron Rodgers is zoned out, and the Packers, you got to be panicking if you're the Packers organization.
He's also getting married, right? Like he's getting married to the Shanley Woodley girl. So. Yeah. Like you said, you got Jeopardy. He's getting married. He's kind of starting a whole new life. It just, mm-hmm. it does kind of feel like just a whole new chapter, literally. And by the way, really crazy stat: no quarterback in Green Bay history has played more than 16 seasons as a Packer.
Yep.
Aaron Rodgers has Brett Favre got to 16. Bart Starr got to 16. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers is currently right at 16.
Maybe that's the magic number.
Which is kind of crazy. Yeah.
But, yeah, so it just becomes – I mean, he kind of released the list of teams he would like to go to if they were to trade him. Denver was on that list. We know they ended up not taking a quarterback in the first round, even though Fields was sitting there for him. And there was reports before the draft that Denver really liked Lanta and Fields. So – I don't know if that's a sign that they're like, oh, maybe we can hold out, pull this Aaron Rodgers things off. Don't know there. 49ers are also on the list. They took Trey Lance. Obviously, if Aaron Rodgers is available, I feel like you still go get him and have Lance sit behind him for a year or two. I feel like that's just the easiest route to go there. Just because, yeah. I mean, it's an MVP-level player, and you think you're that close to a Super Bowl. You think you just need a quarterback to get to a Super Bowl. You would take that. You would take a year or two of Aaron Rodgers trying to win a Super Bowl.
What would be the asking price for Aaron Rodgers?
I think the 49ers kind of screwed themselves trading with the Dolphins.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They traded the Dolphins. I'm looking at this tweet right now. March 26th, this year, obviously. They traded the 12th pick, 2021 third-round pick, and first-round picks in 2022 and 2023.
Yeah, no, they traded a lot of their future, a lot of assets that you could have swung back around and traded for Aaron Rodgers this year.
But, I mean.
They also traded the comp pick for Robert Saleh hire. I didn't even notice that. So they traded, five, six picks for the Dolphins, three picks.
And what's crazy is I was seeing a lot of reports of teams are really valuing next year's first round picks, next year's picks just in general. Almost more than this year's because it's going to be more of a normal year. You're actually going to get to see teams play full seasons. Yep. You're actually going to get out and be able to scout people. You're going to feel more prepared going into the draft. This should be a normal combine. You just feel like you'll be better in a better situation next year. So a lot of teams are valuing those picks. So when you just casually trade a bunch of them off, it says something. So, and like you said, they kind of messed up there because if Aaron Rodgers is really available and – you're one of the teams he wants to go to, and the Packers get to a point to where they have to offload him. Mm-hmm. You don't really have the firepower that some other teams may have now to get him. And another team on that list was the Raiders, which seems a little random, but
a little far-fetched there.
Yeah.
Also, nothing like you said, nothing's going to get done anytime soon because Rodgers' current count against the cap, $37.2 million if they traded him. It would be $35 million.
Yeah,
but if they
would
do
have
it
to wait till after June 1st.
Yep,
most
it'd be
players
down
contract.
To 21.15 if they did it after June 1st.
Still eat a lot of money, doing stuff like that. But yeah, it's just Aaron Rodgers seems at odds with the Packers, and I mean it's kind of been like that for a while. Like I don't know if y'all remember earlier in the year when he had the quotes where he's like, everybody's future, not really sure here in Green Bay, and. I feel like that's already a red flag when he was talking about that months ago. Not sure if I'll still be here.
Yeah, he said it on the McAfee show, right at the end of the season.
Yeah,
like he was already upset. I mean, you just look at
Is it just the call, the whole LaFleur situation at the end of the NFC Championship game? Is that what's it?
I think that's a factor, but I don't think that's everything.
MVP season. Like, I get the whole draft in Jordan Love, I guess, but hell, if anything, I thought it motivated the guy. I thought he came out and was like, hey, I'm going to ball out, and he did. I just think.
So we know Aaron Rodgers. He has the ego. He has
does,
the
and
pride,
I get that.
Stuff like that. And when you're out there and you've been, they literally just had Devontae Adams the past few years. You've had these random guys, basically borderline off the street. You bring in a receiver, stuff like that. Aaron probably's like, okay, yeah, I could use some help out there. I could use some help at receiver. And then that last year, you go and you take your first round pick and you go get the quarterback of the future. When Aaron Rodgers, How old is Aaron? Like 30, 38 about this point, probably? Somewhere in there?
Yeah, I believe he's what?
Somewhere. I mean, obviously he said 16 seasons, so he's probably drafted around 21.
Yeah.
He is...
I would assume he's... I think he's 38.
He's 37.
37. So yeah, if you're him, you think you could at least get the 40 like Brady? You at least, I think, you have that mindset in your head. Especially when you're still playing at this high
level.
But
does he have that mindset? That's my thing, is because, like we talked about, he's got the whole Jeopardy thing, he's getting married, he's got other stuff. I just don't know how much Aaron Rodgers is into football. Like, he's really good, but, like, does he have that same, like, dedication as, like, Tom Brady would? Like you said, I mean, this is a guy who basically, what, quit on Mike McCarthy 3 years ago, remember? Like, he just pretty much was, like, done halfway through the season and just was pissed off the whole second half of the year, just complaining the whole time. Like, and got Mike McCarthy fired. Like, I don't know how motivated this guy is.
I mean, I think that's just kind of also side effect of just, like, you know, his confidence and his ego and stuff like that. It kind of always looks like he doesn't care. Like, he may still be, like, yeah, he could be losing his luster for his love of football, stuff like that. Have other interests, stuff like that. But at the same time, he's still super competitive. I think it's kind of just his competitive nature as well. He doesn't like losing, stuff like that. And when I'm sure he was confident that he could go to 40. Like, I feel like he still has that pride factor where he's like, oh, I can still be the greatest quarterback of all time. I just need to get, like, one more ring, another ring, something like that. And thinks he's still in the window to do that. And I think at 37, he feels like he could get the 40. And so when you're taking a quarterback of the future, like, obviously he would have been 36 last year. If you're taking a quarterback of the future, which, you know, those deals are 4 years with a fifth-year option. When you draft a quarterback like that, you want to play him on the rookie contract. That's the now blueprint for how to win in the NFL. It's playing them on a rookie contract. So when you take a guy, when you think you still have like 4 years left, and you're expecting him to try and get you out of there sooner rather than later. So I think he was kind of hurt by that, obviously. They didn't, and you could just look at the draft class. Like, the draft class from last year, one player from that draft class touched the field. One player. Like, that's just, you almost wasted the entire draft class on the year that Aaron Rodgers feels like every year is Super Bowl or bust at this point in his career. And you didn't get him any impact. Impact.
Would that have been A.J. Dillon?
Yep. A.J. Dillon was the only player from that draft class that touched the field last year. And you already were fine at running back.
He wasn't even good.
He was your third string running back.
He wasn't even good.
Like,
he's just frustrated, man. I mean,
yeah, exactly. Like,
they had 10 straight first-round draft picks. They've all gone defense except for one.
And the defense doesn't get better.
I was about to say.
And the one defensive or offensive guy they got was his replacement.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just.
Yeah, it's just like I understand why he's frustrated. And you feel like teams like this would be willing to listen more to an MVP, star player, face of their franchise.
Well, my question is also with Aaron Rodgers. It's like, how many teams are going to want Aaron Rodgers? Because you're right.
Oh, dude,
like,
I mean, if you can afford him, just talk about.
Like, we get it. I get it. He's really good. He's great. But you're right. You're going to get 2 years, like, guaranteed. Like, guaranteed you might get, what, 2 years, right?
Yeah.
Other than that, past that, you don't really know. You don't really know motivation-wise. And also, like, do you want to give up 2, 3 first-round draft picks, more draft picks past that even, to get a guy that's that old that you're going to get for 2 years who also is, what, 1-4 in NFC Championship games? It's not like you're just going to get Aaron Rodgers and it's like, boom, here we go, we're in the Super Bowl, baby. Like,
yeah.
Time out.
I mean, yeah, it's been a while since he's been there, obviously. But at the same time, I think, I know Brady's different, but at the same time, I think seeing Brady go to Tampa and have, you know, when he's going down there, you only think he has a couple years left, obviously. Like, I think it's the same spectrum. If you think your team's close enough, be like one player like that, like, example, 49ers, obviously, Broncos, obviously, which is probably why they're on Aaron Rodgers' list. Like, they have the good roster. Like, the Bears, you know, obviously would feel like, hey, you get Aaron Rodgers, we're right there. It's teams like that that think their roster is close enough that he's going to be the next thing to, like, put them over the edge to get to that Super Bowl, especially in the NFC. The NFC is wide open right now, especially if, you know, the Packers are this dysfunctional. Like, okay, Bucks brought everybody back. That's obviously the front runner. Saints won the division last year. A lot of people think they're going to take a step down a little bit. I mean, you're switching quarterbacks, things like that. You had to try and get some roster adjustments to stay on their cap. They're probably supposed to take a step back. You know, people mentioned the Cowboys, but they haven't followed it up. You haven't backed anything up. Like, yeah, you should have the talent to be a contender, but they haven't backed anything up, and that's just a fact. So the NFC is about as wide open as it can get right now. 49ers are one of those other teams that people will talk about, but with Jimmy G, you kind of know where his ceiling is at this point. Like, you're not expecting him to do anything crazy. So, yeah, I think almost any NFC team would absolutely take him. AFC team, if you think your roster's close enough to compete with Kansas City, like, I think you'd take him as well. You can look at, like, the Raiders and teams that have, like, kind of hung with them. Like, yeah, you're getting a tough division. Like, that division would be nuts if you throw Aaron Rodgers in there too. But you look at teams like that, I think a lot of these teams would be interested in him. But the Packers are holding firm right now. They are very dead set, but they are not trading Aaron Rodgers. We'll see how it plays out. I think we really just have to wait, and I don't know when Jeopardy's making their official, like, finishing auditions and stuff. But I honestly,
yeah, waiting to see if he makes the cut for Jeopardy.
I honestly think, like,
that's what I'm saying. That's who you want as your, like, quarterback. Like, I get it. Again, Aaron Rodgers is great. I'm not trying to take away from Aaron Rodgers, but still, man, like, this just seems just, like, way too much of a risk. Am I wrong in saying
for
this?
Him on his aspect?
No, I'm just talking about a team trading for him.
But I think you saw it last night with, what did we see, 5 quarterbacks drafted last night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You see all those teams. Their opinion is they're one quarterback away from winning the division, mm-hmm. from winning 10 games, for winning their conference, winning the Super Bowl. That's what it all comes down to. And the quarterback's the most important position on the field, and you're trying to get as the best as you can at the most important position.
Mm-hmm.
And so anybody's going to want Aaron Rodgers. Just like they wanted Tom Brady last
year. He's got a big market.
Aaron Rodgers is not Tom Brady, by the way. Just saying. I don't think Aaron Rodgers would go and have that much of an impact.
The importance of a quarterback.
No, I get it.
It's like, you saw the Bucks last year. They had Jameis Winston, unreliable quarterback, and you go out there and get Tom Brady.
Yeah, went from a 500 team to Super Bowl. Like, yeah. And, I mean, they really didn't add a ton else on that team. Like, if you really think about
they
already
had a pretty good defense.
Yeah, They were stalled enough. But, yeah, they made that step. And I think that's one of the selling points for teams. They're going to look at that and say, hey, that could be us with Aaron Rodgers. Like, you bring in anytime you just casually bring in an MVP-level player, I mean, it helps your team.
And I think the 49ers are a pretty apt comparison there with the defense. I mean, I know they lost Bosa last year, right? He was hurt.
Mm-hmm. But he'll be back. Like, they had a lot of injuries.
Some of their defensive pieces away, but
yeah, they had a lot of injuries last year, but they're still pretty solid. And, you know, I'm sure they'll add even more players with the rest of their picks, you know, throughout the weekend. But it's going to be interesting because Aaron Rodgers, I feel like, is going to be very tough to move off this spot. Like, he's going to hold firm. I feel like he's got the kind of guy that would be content to just sit there and drag this out until the season, obviously. And I really am leaning, like, he's going to – if Jeopardy offers and the Packers are nowhere close to doing anything with him, I could absolutely see him taking that job and be like, hey, either we work this out or I'm just working Jeopardy full time. Like, I
– So if you had to bet right now, Aaron Rodgers in a Packers uniform come next fall, what are you betting?
If I had to bet, I'm leaning no. I'm going to say
really?
No. Yeah. I'm going to say, Hayden? I don't, like, they keep talking about, we can repair this bridge, we can repair this bridge, but it seems like the bridge has already been pretty torn up, and you've just been putting, like, duct tape over it, like, nothing to see here, and then Aaron's just like, okay, no, I'm gonna pull this duct tape back and show everybody what we're working with here, and it's going to collapse. I think the pick last night obviously did not help, like. I know you needed.
Just take Elijah Moore.
I know
man.
You. Yeah, I know you need defensive players, but I think it would have said a lot. Just, you know, to him to be like, "Hey, like, you need some help, my man. Here's a receiver." Like, I feel like it.
And
just
they could still draft one, I guess.
Yeah,
but
they
still
can.
Like, Elijah Moore was on the board. He was like literally the top rated wide receiver left right at that point.
Yeah.
Like after all of the top guys.
15th overall player.
Yeah,
don't
like
know about that.
Yeah,
but
that's
still
that's high, but. He's still, like, one of those dynamic players who's been flying up draft boards and was, you know, borderline top first-round pick, late first-round pick there. I mean, him, like, I think Rondell Moore, you probably wouldn't have gone his route just because of his injury history. But another, like, game-breaking level receiver that they could have got creative with. But it's like, guys like that, it would just send a message to Aaron, like, hey, we still want you here. We're still trying to, like, we know you're in your window to win the Super Bowl. We're going to try to give you as much help as we can. And we're going to get this done. Like, I feel like it just would have sent a better message, but the Packers are what they are, I guess, and tensions are pretty strained there.
And I just wonder how it all went down yesterday. If the news about Rodgers came out because he found out that they were going to be taking a defensive player, or if they took a defensive player because they were just pissed at him for leaking all that information or whatever.
Yeah, it and if they're petty like that, you're definitely not going to fix a relationship. Yeah, they probably were. They probably told him, like, if a specific receiver was there, they'd go that route. And if not,
Devontae Smith, he's there.
Yeah, somewhere on that. Even, like, I think if Bateman was there, they may have gone Bateman. But, yeah, no, when you – and I don't even love Eric Stokes at that pick. Like,
yeah, that's
awesome. He's arguably not even the best corner out of Georgia, like, depending on who you talk to. But I also think it is – it's a little weird because if it was an AFC team, I think it would have made a little sense because he seems like one of those guys that you put out there to try and match up with Tyreek Hill because he ran, like, a 4-3 – some people are trying to say he ran like a 4.2 at his like pro day. Like, he's fast. He's crazy fast. He's one of those guys that you're like, okay, these new fast, over the top receivers. We need somebody to match up with it. But in the NFC, there isn't anybody that's that same level of like a Tyreek Hill. So it felt like a little bit of a reach to me. I feel like there was better corners you could have gotten. Or like we said, like I think you gotta take a receiver at that spot. But we're gonna catch a break and we'll come back on the other side. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. All right, back here in the Fan Run Studios. We got some other big news today. Hayden's doing a punishment.
Uh-oh. It's time.
Hayden's actually doing a punishment today.
It is time.
Wow, and John's going to miss it. We're going to have to record that. We can get extra
we'll have it on the Periscope.
I've been saying it all week that I was going to do it on Friday. I'm not going to back out
look
now.
Look at this
like,
man.
Like
he's chugging water.
Yeah, he's been drinking a lot of water.
He's chugging some water,
because this
man
is going to drink the pee, and he's trying to turn it as much back the water as he can.
Got the little shot glass ready and everything.
Oh, man.
I was training last night. I'm not going to lie.
Okay.
I was training.
Okay. Taking taste
no,
test?
No. Not like that.
Taste test.
No, I probably drank 10 bottles of water last night. I'm being honest
okay,
with you.
Okay, so. Lord. Just chugging
all
them
right.
things, huh?
It's like a camel pretty much, yeah.
It's loading up.
Yeah.
Loading up to drink the pee. I'm sure we'll get to that at around hour 3 for sure. So we had some jersey numbers coming out, Draven, for some of these guys?
Absolutely, yeah. Your boy, we didn't really even talk about the Falcons officially taking Kyle Pitts, the great tight end from Florida. He apparently will be wearing number 8 for the Falcons.
Taking advantage of those single-digit numbers off the rip. Okay.
Yeah, a little bit of a surprise, though, just because he didn't wear a single-digit number in college. So kind of thought that was a little strange. But, yeah, we also had Justin Fields. He's going to be sticking with number 1. Probably no surprise there. With Chicago, so.
Okay, yeah. I'm assuming Lawrence is trying to get 16 again.
Oh, yeah, he's already got 16.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was assuming. I so
it.
There.
You know, while we're talking about Jacksonville, just for a second.
Mm-hmm.
It happens every year, and it pisses me off so much, sitting there and watch the timer tick down on the number 1 pick. How do you know who you're going to pick?
That's what we're talking like, yeah, that's what we're saying like, at the beginning of the show.
God.
Like, it's taking way too long. Yeah, like, they should have no – they should be up there at 9:57 announcing their pick because they're the number 1. They should already have decided by this point.
Yeah.
It's just – they just like to make it so theatrical. They take it forever with it, man.
And I thought it was weird that Lawrence didn't come to the draft. Like, when's – I mean,
yeah, he wanted to do it with his family, but yeah, first pick.
That's really never
season.
Happened before. The first pick,
the number
not,
one,
not been there,
right?
I can't think of any
other
recent
than
memory.
Last year, I guess,
yeah,
with
other than
the,
last
the virtual.
Year, that just seemed kind of weird to me. Also, the chairs seemed weird to me.
The people just the chilling in the chair.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I didn't know about all that.
They
either.
Made it strange. It was a whole weird thing. Like, supposed to start at 8, then kick off to, I think, like 8:15 because they're like, we gotta have a band perform. Like, they were just making the whole thing out of it.
I guess Machine Gun Kelly, was that that wasn't
that was
tonight?
The after show, wasn't it?
Was that tonight? Was that last
so.
Night or was that?
Oh,
I think that might have been this weekend. I think that was Saturday night.
And who was it last night?
There was somebody.
Like Kings of Leon or something.
Yes,
yeah,
that's it. But we talked about time a little bit. I really did not think that there was many teams where you saw the ticker go down under 6 minutes. Besides the Titans, I know the Titans took their whole time, but most of the time when Copper and who's Lewis? It's Lewis Riddick, right?
Yeah, yeah.
When they'd be sitting there just hashing out the pick before, you see on the graphic, the pick's already in.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty quick. As
yeah,
far
no,
as they,
the pick was coming
but
in
it would
fast.
Take forever
yeah.
for them to go out there and announce
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. Like, which is, absurd. It's really annoying, too, because, like, you know they can do it faster when you see, like, it will go a tad faster tonight, obviously, because they got two rounds. They moved it up an hour. I think it kicks off at 7 tonight. It's still, I doubt it'll be done before midnight. I highly doubt that.
Yeah.
Maybe 1 a.m. But you'll see they'll go fast tomorrow when it's Saturday and they're just like, oh, nobody's really watching this anymore.
They start at like 4 o'clock, don't they?
Start at noon. Start at noon on Saturday. Yeah. Just rock it out all day. It goes faster because, one, they have more rounds, but also at the same time, they know people aren't really watching as much. So they're just up there going fast. Like, they'll be, like, you know, if you watch the ESPN coverage, they'll still be talking about the last pick and the other pick's going to be getting announced, like, in the middle of that conversation because they just keep it going because they know people don't care as much at that point. So, like, you know they can do it fast, but they're like, ah, let's string this out for 4 hours, which is, I think, is absurd. Like, that's something, like I knew people, they were like, oh, yeah, I want to watch, like, the Titans draft pick, but then at the same time, they're like, man, like, I got to work tomorrow. Like, I can't stay up till, like, midnight.
The Titans picked at, like, 11.
Yeah, it was, like, 11, mm-hmm. Yeah, it was 11:30-ish, maybe, somewhere in there. But, like, yeah, a lot of people are like, yeah, I'm not trying to stay up or be out at, like, a bar somewhere that late trying to watch the draft. It's just, it's insane how long they take with this stuff. But maybe they'll find a way. I guess it's the TV money. I'm sure, you know, obviously selling advertising and stuff like that.
Yeah, that too.
So I don't think they're going to shorten it anytime soon. But it just is a burden to, like, watch it almost. Like, you're setting aside a whole night.
It's like you can't, like, sit there and that be your primary viewing material. Like,
yeah,
I was playing video games last night, mm-hmm. and I had it on my phone in my speaker in my room, so I could hear it, but I wasn't.
Yeah, you don't have to focus on it.
Time.
Yeah,
because there's no point.
There's really no point.
The analysis, you want to hear the analysis on, like, just your pick, but outside of that, like, you really don't care what they're breaking down about this offensive lineman that went to, like, the Chargers. Yeah, like, you know,
and the analysis, like, we've been hearing it for, like, months. Like, yeah, I mean, exactly. They're saying the same thing for months. And most of the stuff they say, like, I feel like they never really say. Yeah,
it's
and
so
it's usually
vague.
Not
it's
very
some, oh,
negative.
It's just generic,
like,
stuff. It's like a horoscope for these football players. Like, athletic guy, good work ethic, high motor. He's flexible. Yeah. Put him across the board. He finds the football. Like, it's just all the generic stuff like that, and you're just like, okay.
Then
yeah,
again, though, they do have, like, Kadarius Toney. They kept saying, like, he'll be good if he stays healthy.
Yeah.
If he stays healthy. Like, they kept saying that, which makes, if I was a Giants fan, I'd be like, well, what the hell? Is he not going to stay healthy?
Like, what are you telling me? Because
they usually are just positive the whole time,
for
the most part.
Sure. Yeah, what are you slamming him for? But, yeah, it's stuff like that, and they string it out. They make it a long process. Hopefully tonight goes a little quicker. Still some really good players on the board going into the second round, especially, like, a few guys that you would have thought been projected from, like, mid-first round and stuff like that. And obviously, like, you got the Jacksonville's and the Cincinnati's and those teams right back on the clock.
The Jags will have – they'll be their third pick in the first 33 picks.
Yeah.
So,
I mean – yeah, I think they have, like, five or six in the top, like, 65. They need defensive help.
Running back, that's for sure.
They made to go with that tight end from Penn State. They could use another tight end. Get Trevor another weapon there. They could go safety. I know
offensive lineman too.
Morig, you can't hurt to put another lineman out there. Yeah. I saw Morig was mocked of him in the first round a lot.
Safety
out of TCU. So they may go here because he's still available. Didn't have a single safety go in the first round. So we'll see some of those probably come off the board for sure in the second round, you would think. Besides that, I don't really. They could take a receiver. They probably could add some more receivers there. You know, still some good ones on the board there.
So who's
deep
the number one,
class.
DJ Chark? Is he still there?
Yeah, Chark's there. I mean, they took LaVisca Chenault last year as well.
Okay. I need somebody else.
So they need a third guy in there. So, like, you know, Elijah Moore could be a play there on the board. Him, Rondell Moore are sitting there.
It's tough look to take three straight offensive guys.
Yes and no. I feel like you got to give your young quarterback weapons. Yeah. Like, if you're building around him, you want to give him as much help as you can, put him in the best situation to succeed. So they're kind of trying to go that route, it seems like. But, yeah, they're a roster with a lot of holes. They could use help a lot of places.
Why did they go with ETN last night?
I I think Urban Meyer just doesn't know what he's doing, man.
Hey, wasn't James Robinson like a beast last year?
He had
over 1,000 yards.
Yeah, he had 1,400 yards.
He finished second, right? Or yeah, if he was, finished top three, I know, in rushing.
Yeah, no, it was definitely not the highest team need that they have. Like I said, I think he's just stacking it like it's a recruiting class. He's like, yeah, I'm going to take this great player here. And because they even talked about it. Like, they had a quote that came out, and they're like, oh, yeah, he's going to be our third down back. It's like, okay, so you just spent a first-round pick on a guy that's going to get just play one down of football? what are you doing, man, if that's actually your game plan? Like, you need to get that guy involved. You want your first-round pick to be an impact player that, you know, can get on the field right away most of the time. Unless, you know, outside quarterback, you like to let them sit sometimes. But, yeah, you want your first few rounds to be impact players. So, I don't know why you kind of put him in that box of like, yeah, no, we're just going to use him on third downs. Like, eh, he's nothing serious. Stuff like that. But
I was really surprised the Broncos didn't take a quarterback. Just kind of looking overall at the draft, some surprises. Like, I saw a tweet just come out that Michael Silver said the Broncos loved Justin Fields, but apparently, like, Patrick Surtain even more. So obviously, that's why they took him.
I had saw it like they were really high on those quarterbacks. So, like, I was a little surprised. Like, I don't know if it's them. Like, apparently they're still pretty high on Drew Lock too. And so I guess they're like, hey, we just keep building the team around them. We can make it work. Or at least see.
Did they not just sign Kyle Ford in the offseason?
Yeah. Like, yeah, they did. But I think they still could have used another corner out there. I can't remember who else they had. Maybe it was like, did A.J. Bowie go out there or something?
He was out there, but I think he was a free agent this past season,
like,
I want
to
say.
I think they did still have a hole at corner, but they did sign somebody to kind of shore that up a little bit. But, you know, in today's NFL, you usually have three corners out there most time anyways. So,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad pick at any point. But, yeah, I was a little surprised.
I mean, they also have Ronald Darby.
I don't know. Yeah, Darby, that's who they are. I knew they signed somebody.
Yeah. Kyle Fuller and Ronald Darby, I mean –
yeah, but they had three guys, and you would hope Surtain ends up being better than at least Darby on that front. So not a terrible pick there, but I mean, yeah, you would have thought they were gonna go quarterback. Them and Carolina, I thought, were both very possible to go quarterback. Carolina ended up picking up Sam Darnold's quarterback fifth year option this year, today. So like, yeah, that was kind of. Maybe that was a smokescreen to try and get, because they wanted to trade back. So maybe somebody was like, oh, they're gonna take a quarterback.
I'm really thinking Trey Lance was their guy. And when the Niners took Trey Lance, I was like, okay, next pretty much best available or next best guy.
I mean,
guy,
he was the Falcons
Horn.
Guy, too. Like, I saw a report that was like, yeah, if he would have slipped the four, there was going to be a real, like, conversation.
Real debate
him
there.
And Pitts. Yeah. Because Arthur Smith really liked Trey Lance and spent a lot of time with him in the offseason. So I kind of like that, you know, didn't have to make that tough call there. Even though I like Fields, but, you know, Bears got him a good one down there, probably. But. You know, and lots of good players left going into day two. Hopefully it goes a little quicker tonight, rounds 2 and 3. Should see the first Vol off the board.
That's what I was going to ask when we went to break, if we were going to see a Tennessee player off the board or not.
Yeah, I'd say Trey Smith for sure. I'd say you have a small chance you could see Palmer in the third. So
Palmer?
Yeah, Palmer could go in the third. But
to New Orleans? Is that what we're thinking? I mean,
wouldn't surprise me, man.
That's the report we saw early on,
I mean,
right?
Yeah.
They like the Palmer.
Yeah, would not surprise me one bit. They do need receiver help over there with Sanders leaving and stuff like that. But hour one is in the books. We'll start hour two out with headlines, and we'll keep this thing moving. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.